I wonder if there is anyone here who believes that the earth is the center of the universe. Time was, everyone did. But research and investigation found the truth. I wonder if anyone here believes that the earth is flat. Time was, everyone did. But research and investigation and being curious and inquiring about the truth led to the facts that the earth is not flat. Some folks here are students. What does it mean to be a student? One studies, one does research, one investigates, one learns what the facts are and what the truth is. Both of our sons are engineer types. One graduated from James Madison, is now an engineer in New Jersey, and the other one's a sophomore at James Madison studying engineering. And it means that they're curious about things. And so we have great debates about green energy, climate change, solar panels, electric cars, every aspect of life that need further research and study to determine the truth. I just heard that a new fault line was found and researched in the San Francisco area. I wonder what that means. Lots of change taking place on the national scene. Some people are excited about the changes, while others want things to remain the same. What is fact? What is truth? We hear a great deal about fake news. What is truth in life? And we always want to make sure that we're living by what is true. This month I began a series of inquiry classes at Pines Chapel for people who want to inquire about their faith, about their beliefs, the beliefs of the Presbyterian Church, church membership, sacraments, theology, church government. One is an inquirer because one is searching, looking, examining, checking things out to see what the Christian faith is all about. And we currently have about four people in that class. And this inquirer's phase is a time to see if one wants to move further, deeper into one's commitment to Jesus Christ, and in many ways committed to Christ through the church. So this season of Lent is a kind of inquirer stage to see or check out the Christian faith. Is this faith really for me? Is the church really for me? If not, why not? And if yes, what do I need to do? And so this story of Nicodemus is the perfect story of an inquirer. And just maybe this story is our story as well. Nicodemus can be seen as a kind of 21st century church member or non-church member looking at membership, and he is a successful and a self-confident man. He is a leader in his community. He seems spiritually open and curious, but also very rational and common sense oriented. He's heard of this Jesus and has been there for some of his preaching and teachings in the synagogue. He's had some questions for some time, but has kept them to himself. But he's curious enough and inquisitive enough that he wants to know more, but is not yet ready to make a commitment. Mind you now, Nicodemus is a religious leader. He is a religious leader who affirms the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He is a solid leader in the Jewish community. And the question for him is whether this Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah, the Son of God, of which the prophets have spoken about for hundreds of years. Many of the friends and family and religious friends of Nicodemus could care less about this Jesus and have already dismissed him as a fake and a phony. But Nicodemus remains curious enough that he makes an appointment with Jesus, and he wants to inquire more, to ask questions, to seek the truth, to learn more. And so the season of Lent, I hope, is a season that we become perhaps like Nicodemus in one way, which is to seek after the Christ and to ask questions, to inquire more, to learn more, to reflect more on our faith, to see where this Christ is leading, maybe into the deeper waters of the faith. Who knows? If you have to, make an appointment with the Christ and talk it over. Because notice, Nicodemus makes this appointment in the dead of night when no one is around, because Nicodemus is an inquirer and is not yet ready to declare his faith in the light of day, and therefore not yet ready to let it change his life. And believe me, if Nicodemus accepted Jesus as the Christ, his life would change dramatically. And Nicodemus may be like many mainline Protestants, not that trendy anymore. And though people come to church, and some are very active in the church like Nicodemus, they have their faith and may be spiritually curious, but they keep their faith in its own sphere. It's very private and personal, and in many ways hidden. Nicodemus kept his curiosity hidden and in the dark, and came out of the darkness to speak with Jesus because he was not yet ready to be identified as a follower of this man. He had to be cautious and exercise discretion, because being an open disciple of Jesus Christ for Nicodemus would have spelled trouble. So he approached Jesus in the dark of night and then went back into the darkness. And we don't see or hear of Nicodemus again until the death of Jesus, when Nicodemus helped in the burial of Jesus' body. The discussion between Jesus and Nicodemus is interesting. Nicodemus, like many of us, grants that Jesus is a special individual. Nicodemus indicates that he already knows Jesus has come from God because of what he has seen Jesus do. But Jesus wants the faith of Nicodemus to grow and to mature, and that is why he challenges Nicodemus to be born again. And of course, Nicodemus does not understand, and many of us may not understand, for many of us, because of the pluralistic society in which we live, and wanting to be tolerant now of all beliefs. Haven't we ever used that phrase, doesn't matter what you believe, we're all going to the same place. Oh, there is a difference. There is a difference between the three major faiths. They're all the same. We worship the same God, so no big deal. And we feel this is an acceptable way to practice our faith. And as we push our faith more and more into the private realm of family and personal morality, but inappropriate for public issues, as a noted preacher said earlier, quote, our brand of religion promotes self-restraint, tolerance, and personal morality, which are all worthy virtues, and we support public morality and an engagement in social issues, but that message has greatly diminished due to the decrease in size of mainline Protestantism, and is now like a faith that is thriving, but is thriving in the dark, end quote. I think Jesus saw Nicodemus as an infant, actually a baby, that might or might not be born. Jesus was challenging Nicodemus's depth of faith, his maturity of faith, his very integrity and courage to step out and say what he believes, to grow in the faith. But here, this Jesus is not commanding Nicodemus to do anything. What Jesus is asking of Nicodemus is to let God work in his life. It is an invitation to explore the faith. The invitation is provocative because it invites us to open our imaginations and to reconsider our relationship with God. Have we taken time to do that? And that was the purpose of the service on Ash Wednesday, to reconsider our relationship with our God in Christ. We are invited to be born again. That is, come into the light of day and allow God to work in our lives and become mature believers. This is not something we can do on our own, but the invitation is there to allow God to work in our lives, because it is God who will give birth. Rebirth is God's gift to give. It is God's work to accomplish. It is God who labors to bring life anew. A few weeks ago, folks at Pines were in discussion with members of the Islamic community of Harrisonburg, Virginia. And we talked for a couple of hours. I didn't know, at least the folks who were there from the Islamic community, believed in the teachings of John Calvin. They believed in predestination. And I was sitting there when Nabil was talking about that, and I was flabbergasted. Predestination. That's Presbyterian. I haven't preached on predestination in 50 years. But they believed it. I learned something. And they learned some things from us. If we're open to hearing how God is active in life, we can learn, or we can reaffirm what we have already known to be true. So Lent is a time to inquire, and a big part of that inquiry is being open to the invitation to be born again. God working in our life to mold and shape us as He will. And the birth analogy is great because it is God who conceives us as Christians and nurtures us in the wombs of our faith, safe and warm and secure. Full term approaches, and God gets somewhat impatient and wants to push that baby through the birth canal into greater maturity, into fullness of life, into a faith lived wholly in the world. And I would imagine if a baby had a decision to be born or not to be born, most likely the decision would be to remain in the womb, nice and comfortable. All your needs are taken care of. I'm sure Jesus knew Nicodemus a little bit, and I feel Jesus knew that it was time for Nicodemus to come through that spiritual birth canal. And perhaps Jesus thinks it's time for some of us to be reborn as well. Lent, I believe, is a time to figure that out. And the other scripture reading this morning, the story of the call of Abram. Abram and Sarah to leave their country and travel to another land. Abram was a religious person, and according to the scriptures, he went as the Lord had commanded. Now, can we realize how difficult that must have been for Abram to do that in the society in which he lived? This is 2,000 years ago and more, 4,000 years ago with Abram. Because in that society, where you were born is where you lived and where you died. You didn't travel anywhere. And nobody else does that, never mind going off on a whim about hearing from God and then moving your family to a place yet to be determined. Can you imagine calling a moving company and saying you are moving, but you want to load up that truck, but your destination is unknown? They'd probably think you're crazy. I would guess the company would say thanks, but no thanks. Yet we have to see the story in the context not of geography. This isn't a story about geography. This is a story about faith. And for Abram, he's moving from this place in his faith. This is the baptismal font. We're baptized here. We remember our baptismal covenant here. And at this place, we affirm Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We renounce sin and evil in the world. And we're called to proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And so we move from the safety of this baptismal font to somewhere else where God calls us. We just don't stay in one place. And that's what the story of Abram is, to travel in faith and to journey in faith and trust the God we profess to journey with us, to move from one comfortable relationship with God to another, maybe one that is more uncomfortable, but one perhaps that's more faithful. The city Haran, from which Abram left, means, quote, highway or crossroads. God calls and Abram responds is a starting point in the history of Israel. Abram's the first call. The starting point in the history of Israel and in our own salvation story. God calls and we respond. In Lent, we use this text as our own crossroads. The needs, callings, and challenges that we have as individuals and as a congregation. God's calling this congregation. God is calling this congregation perhaps to move from here and to move here. What does that mean? In Lent and in this transitional time, we try to figure that out. We try to find out what that truth is. What it is that God is calling us to be, who God is calling us to be as a congregation. And we figure that out now in this congregation, in this time of transition. Where is it that God calls us to go as individuals, regardless of our age? Where is it that God calls us to go in terms of our faith? In terms of our career, careers ending, careers just beginning, in times of retirement, in times of our family, what is God calling us to do or be in our with our family relationships or with our ministry? Here again is the call to be reborn, to give birth in accepting the invitation to travel in faith and sense a greater degree of being the person God calls us to be. To become more aware of the greater possibilities of being a person of faith. To accept the invitation to be a blessing and a greater blessing to others. A call to move beyond ourselves. The writer John testifies that being born again is not so much about what we do with our minds as it is what we do with our hearts and with our lives. Are we ready to be reborn? Use this season of Lent to inquire. Amen.